Something I wouldn't have put past him. Disappearing like this. He'd done this so many times before, but never for this long. I suppose what was most troubling was the way he left. Before he would have told someone something, even if it was some obscure friend from his past. Is this the way he tells his family? Blood on the wall. A number written in blood. He has obligations here. His family misses him so much.
Nothing. You just look so cute in the morning.
Oh, be quiet. I do not.
Yeah, you're kind of right. Plus, your morning breath is really bad.
How is that even possible? I don't even have breath.
I noticed. It's like you're a vampire or something.
Yeah, but you should see when I get mad. There's no breath, but it looks like a light scarlet mist that seeps out of my nose and mouth.
Is it weird that I'm aroused by that?
Not really. I've been told that by, like, every...
Every... How many have there been?
So, I suppose now is a good time for a first lesson.
No. Wait, who are these other guys?
Well, more like archangels, dukes of hell, and elementals that shape the fate of the universe. Now, your first lesson.
Okay.
Nonsense, love. You are definitely my favorite then. I promise. Here. Let me show you something. You told me you were into role-playing, didn't you?
Yeah.
Then close your eyes. Now open them.
Whoa. You look amazing. Teach me how to do something like that.
Okay, all you do is just... change his face, move into the side.
Is that all you do? For that?
You never have thought, right?
No. Okay, close your eyes.
Close now. Incredible work. This is shapeshifting. You're like two lessons ahead.
That is way more fun than I would have ever thought. Your bones feel so weird.
Yeah. For that reason, I'd reconsider shapeshifting into giraffe before you try other things. It's a bit awkward.
Oh, Simeon also suggested I try this one with you. Now, if I can just...
Oh, flowers! They're beautiful! A bit cliché and kind of a parlor trick, but then again, Simeon is a bit old-fashioned, isn't he?
Yeah. But we've run into some problems.
He really is a great guy. It's just that the other archetypes seem to be concerned that he won't find his complimentary flame anytime soon. They've tried setting him up with Astarte, and it didn't go well. At all. And Freya says that she and Frigg prefer introducing him to... Paul! I was talking!
I wanted to see if the disrobing spell worked.
Of course it does. You did it like 6 times last night. I was discussing something important to me.
Yeah, but I don't understand all these otherworldly terms yet. I mean, I don't know what you mean about the guy. He seems pretty cool to me.
Who's that?
I'm pretty sure it's just Simeon trying to pester us. Yeah, I have a feeling that he's just trying to get in the way because he's jealous that I have a chick and he's lonely now. I'm sure he just misses having his old buddy around, that's all.
Yes, but that's exactly what I was trying to tell you just now.
Wait, when?
Literally just right now, babe.
Real shit? Damn.
Oh God, she's here.
Marty!
Yeah, I'm not even surprised at this point.
Marty! He broke up with me.
Wait, honey, is this spirit drunk?
Afraid so, dear. Yeah.
I can't believe that this is happening all over again.
Oh, shit. Who is this?
It's my sister.
But she sounds American.
Step sister.
He broke up with me.
She's from Irvine.
Yes.
That's interesting. Because I actually am.
I came as soon as I could. What was that noise? Is everyone okay?
Yeah, and who's this butler looking for?
Misty, you know Simeon. He's known us for centuries.
For fuck's sake, you all need to keep quiet and be more sensible about these obnoxious displays of emotion.
Yeah, well, whoever he is, he's harshening up my buzz.
Insolence personified as usual.
Oh, and now I remember you. You're that pretentious motherfucker. Always trying to control shit.
Anyway, let's let them get reacquainted. What was it you were going to say?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that I actually... Hold on.
Who is it, love?
This... This is going to be a very interesting call.
Is everything okay?
Hello?
Paul Edward. Where on earth have you been? Are you dead?
No. But the people around me kind of are.
Abstract motif.
Friday, guys. It's another Abstract Motif podcast. It is Friday the 13th, and we are in the month of September. It's been about 2 or 3 months since I last spoke to you guys, and I'm happy to be back. It's really difficult piecing this kind of stuff together because since this podcast has grown a bit, I've recruited more, I guess you'd call it talent. Well, definitely you can call it talent, and individual guests to come on and entertain us with their anecdotes. So I hope that it has been worth your time and that you enjoy sitting here with me now. And this is something that leads me into the subject of the night. I have been wanting to talk to you guys about time and what I think about it. Time is something I consider a lot. It's something that I kind of fight with all the time at a personal level. Because if you know me, you know that I like to plan everything. Or maybe even if you do know me, I like to plan everything. I have a planner. It's a pen and paper type. For some reason, smartphone planners just don't do it for me. I like having the actual grid in front of me, and I'm not at the point where I'm scheduling stuff that's time bound per se. It's just more of like a to-do list I have written per week. One of the first things I do Monday morning is sit down and write my week out, you know, everything down to like what I'm gonna be working out that day at the gym, or what I'll be doing creatively, what I'll be doing for my career, even to some extent what I'll be eating. But it's definitely something that I am really particular about, and therefore, like, I won't want to disrupt someone's time. And also, if you are one of my close friends that is a phone talker, you'll also probably be frustrated by the fact that I just don't answer phone calls often. And if I do, even every now and then, consider yourself special. Because I think generally being on the phone is a waste of time. And I'd say, like, more than, maybe a little bit more than half my friends who are phone talkers will use it. Well, I think everyone who I know that's a phone talker will use the excuse that, you know, people don't want to communicate person to person anymore. They don't want that human element. And the funny thing is that I'd say around half, maybe a little more than half of those people that say that or that are just phone talkers in general aren't the best communicators. And this isn't aimed at anyone specific, but just historically who I've known in my life. There's something about it. But the people that I do know as good texters, conversely, tend to be fantastic communicators, even in person. With that being said, I may not be the most efficient person, but I value efficiency, and I think that that's something that is just a good skill set to have. I'd like to be better at it myself. You know, I know plenty of people that are just definitely more efficient than I am, but that's something that my previous boss wouldn't really take too much time to cultivate in himself. He would pretty much sit at an email and send me vague instructions, and I would do them, and most of the time I'd get it right. But I mean, I should clarify that I did send up a follow-up email to question if this is exactly what he meant or not, but this is something he would get back to me like a day or two later on a project or whatever. And it would frustrate the hell out of me because I would piece together emails that were like economized to the word, and they'd be somewhat lengthier than his emails, but they'd be economically efficient to where there would be no room for guessing about what I meant. And if he would just sit down, and don't get me wrong, I like the guy. He's a cool guy. I had no problems with him. But if he would have just sit down for an extra 10 seconds to read what I said, he would have had no other questions to clarify for the rest of the week. And it's because I value time. And I think that's one of the strengths of text messaging, is that you really can paint a picture in however many colors, or just black and white. You know, you could send all these like superfluous emojis and decorate things and essentially draw a picture for the person. You know, emojis, as trivial as they may seem, are really, they're really functional. You know, that like if you throw an emoji on something, you could sense, you could read sarcasm, or you could read sadness, or you could read longing, or read even to some levels like affection, varying degrees of affection, actually. When emojis first came out, and I'm dating myself, I guess, my ex at the time, she would send me a whole stream of hearts, and it was a new experience for me at the time. I don't think I've actually had a girl do that since, but it was exceptionally charming, and it really made you feel some type of way. But I don't know. Also, with me being on the phone, just waste my time because I'm usually in the middle of something. And I don't mean this to be a public service announcement to any of my friends that are listening to our phone talkers or whatever. That's fine. I get that everyone's different. Everyone has a different communication style. But oftentimes I'm either walking at the gym, working on something that I'm heavily focused on. And it's really rare that I can just stop and talk, even though it'd be cool. And I would be willing to, you know, make an effort to do, you know, voice texting, voice messaging. That's always pretty fun, actually. I mean, I tend to drone on a little bit from time to time. You know, 45-second to 2-minute voice messages could probably get kind of cumbersome for some to listen to because it's just like a voicemail. But either way, I respect time. Time also seems to be conflicting. You know, there's all these pathways that there are these abstract pathways in between the concrete world that guide our individual lives at intersections and crosses from each other, and where sometimes we may run parallel and sometimes we veer off in different directions. And, you know, like this is one of the reasons why it's been difficult for me to nail in some interviews or recruit talent in like a time efficient manner, because we all have schedules, you know, we all have agendas. And it's been, you know, a solid effort, because whenever you endeavor in something, if I don't know, like everyone's different. I tend to choose somewhat entrepreneurial ventures, and I tend to choose independent ventures and start things up from scratch. I like doing this kind of stuff. But others, you know, others are happy in group efforts that are organized and seek consistent corporate work. And that being your living, or one of the means of living, is something that recruits people to be there and commit for money. And the money I can offer right now is just not at the level that would inspire haste. And I totally understand that. Work comes first, school comes first, and to some degree, new love even comes first oftentimes. But time is important, and oftentimes we race against time. Reminds me of, you know, astrologically or whatever, Saturn. The sphere of Saturn rules time. And it's a brutal sphere because it also renders the limitations for mankind. I mean, this is all mythical and all that. But it's how the world is, that's how the world functions, you know, that's how we can develop. As society becomes increasingly complicated, we need more quantification to have things organized. So yeah, time. Texting, efficiency, and all that good stuff. That's what's been on my mind all the time. I notice that life isn't actually that long. Well, I should say it's, how should I put this? It's something that I've thought about. Life is actually long. You know, the 65 to 100 years we're here on this planet is actually a long time. But it moves fast. You know what I'm saying? Like, it speeds up. People say that we're here for a short amount of time. And I guess compared to a, you know, a tortoise, yeah. Compared to, like, the, you know, ecological epoch that we're in. But essentially, you know, like, we experience the death of many animals. You know, we experience, like, the fluctuations of society, inventions, as cycles of invention increase rapidly. We're here for a while, but it just moves so fast, you know? I remember I had this mentor when I was particularly into short filmmaking, where I had this mentor. He was fucking awesome. He just, you would never know that he was one of the best special effects guys in the US, if not maybe the world, you know. He was one of the lead guys on that movie Avatar. And one time he sat down with me, and I didn't understand why he told me this, but he was like, you know, when I'm in a movie, like, if I'm not digging it in the first 15 minutes, I'm out of there. Because, like, even though, like, I paid money for this, they're wasting my time. And it's true. Like, I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, cool. Good for you. But I didn't understand, like, the value of it until, like, I didn't understand it until it became increasingly apparent over the last few years that time is so valuable. Like, don't fucking waste my time, dude. And I'm not, again, stop. This isn't about the texting thing or whatever, but it's just in general, just don't waste my fucking time with bullshit. And I'm sure we've all had friends. I mean, we've probably been those friends. I've definitely been that friend that wonders about a specific problem in their life. They may ask for advice, but they don't take the advice, or maybe they'll, like, gloss over and look blankly at you and really not pay attention. And what we're really doing, or what they're really doing, is feeding you negativity with, like, no real real investment in what you can offer them, aside from just being a listening ear, hearing their problems, which is taxing. Taxing. Let me repeat that. Taxing. It's taking from you. And I've been less forgiving about people who have wasted my time lately. And I think that's just something that happens when you get a little older. Because I'm not saying I have, like, this insane worth, but I definitely do have worth as a person. And so do you, whoever you are. You know, I mean, the more you look into what resources you have at this very moment and apply them to any goal that seems attractive to you, you're developing value. And it doubles or triples or quadruples or becomes exponentially more valuable what it can do when you offer it to the world around you, whether it be your small kingdom of friends and family, whether it just be your friends, whether it be a social group of some kind, whether it be to people on the internet, whatever it is, you definitely have value. And there are people that want to take that time, either consciously or unconsciously. And I really do make a point to use that time well. And I'm being redundant by saying that, but I notice a lot of people spend tons of time on YouTube or tons of time watching Netflix or, and entertainment is there for a purpose. You know, there's tons of beauty to behold. But I just don't like being a spectator. I mean, for some reason, I've been watching that guy, Jordan Peterson, lately. Thanks, Porik, for introducing me to him, by the way. And he discusses that, you know, I never realized this, but he talks about, like, you know, just some people are just have different traits. Some are more agreeable, some are disagreeable. And, you know, there's just like a psychological propensity to be one or the other. And there's also conscientiousness, that factor of the brain or the mind or whatever. And I realized, like, shit, I'm actually pretty high in conscientious. Do you ever wonder what you are? You know, and I'm asking you who is listening. Some people, and I envy these people, aren't that high in conscientiousness, and they can just relax. They can relax. They can enjoy their time while I try to make the most of it. And maybe make enjoying time is making the most of it. But I feel like I need to do something. And I'm happy seeing progress. And others are happy making peace with the world around them, watching TV, laughing, feeling things. But still, I think that no matter what, sitting down watching videos, okay, this is a side note, but watching like movies on your laptop, unless it's with great headphones, I think you just wasted all those audio guys' time. I mean, maybe the audio guys don't even care about it. Obviously, they probably don't because it's just a job for them. But like, there are people who sit down and EQ and master the fuck out of what you're watching on really tinny, brassy little speakers on your laptop. That's just a pet peeve. Anyway, so yeah, I would love to go to the movies more. You know, like, I think that's a cool experience to be in that theater setting, seeing everything perfectly and hearing everything, feeling the sounds. Live music too. Live music to me can be sometimes kind of a waste of time. Usually not electronic music, because it's like, I mean, just some people just really suck live. You know, and I don't think a lot of people want to admit that, but not all live music is better music. But yeah, I mean, time is an investment, and I just don't understand how people can just sit and be spectators. And with that being said, I really, whoever listens to this, like, I really put time and effort into whatever I put out to you. You know, I do outline a lot of the stuff. I do outline everything that's spoken about here, and I try to choose something that's interesting to me and pluck from it what I value or what I find to be, I don't know, something for you to take away with. With the fiction you hear, it's obviously it's not perfect, but a lot of work goes into that. And I do make music to the best of my ability for you to enjoy. And of course, like, it may not be your taste in music, but just know that I really do keep your time in mind when I make this. Because podcasts are another thing where I just don't, this and like Twitch streaming, I just don't understand how people can afford to listen to trash content. And like Twitch streaming, like, you know, you see like these dudes, I mean, apparently they're funny, but you're also watching them play games that you could be playing. You know, you could be doing that. Or they'll spend time watching just a hot chick. And I hear that, like, these hot chicks don't even have, like, they're not even playing the games. They just have someone play for them. And they're making tons of money off these viewers, just watching other people do things. And while some mukbang is interesting, like, these 45-minute videos, you're watching someone eat. I mean, it could be entertaining for sure, but, like, it's just mind-boggling. Anyway, I do my best to make every piece of my podcast the best it can be, to not waste your time, to be a benefit of some sort, for you to experience whatever beauty you can, whatever emotion you can, and whatever it is that you can take away from these ramblings. You know, I mean, considerations. So thank you again for listening. The next thing I want to talk about, aside from time, is what a lot of people do to enjoy their time, and that's drinking beer. Lately, I've been usually more into whiskey because apparently it has no carbs. And, you know, it's probably rougher on the system, but, you know, water helps. I've decided to do a little beer tasting for you, and I got some interesting stuff from my local beer merchant by the name of Jose. This is Jose's handbag. This is Jose's picks of beer that he recommends. From the cellar, it's a bottle shop in Uptown Whittier, California. So if you're ever in the area, check out the cellar, please. It's my go-to. Really cool vibes. I've actually met several cool people there just by being there. It hasn't really happened at the other places I've gone to in Uptown. And a fantastic selection. So tonight we have, let's see here. In order, the way I'm going to drink them, Jose and I tend to be pretty similar in taste. We like lagers and pilsners. So I have, to begin with, a Weihensteffenhofer. Wait, Weihensteffener. I actually used to have this when I was in Germany, when I'd visit. It's, you know, all across the board. It's just, I love German pilsners and German lagers or whatever the fuck. So let's get into it. Even the bottle. Clean. So, the notes that I got from Jose on this were essentially that it's a super clean beer. Textbook German beer, you know, because they brew it with the purity law and all that. I remember one time I was with my friend Fernelli and Pork in Frankfurt. I really didn't have much money. Actually, I think I showed up to Frankfurt Airport with a British pound to my name. That's it. And it was a really hot summer day. We came across this beer emporium, and they're like, okay, well, we have money. Let's get some beer or whatever. And I remember I waterfalled. I'll never forget the moment. I think it was, I don't know if it was Porks or Fernelli's, maybe Porks. Ice cold German beer. Might have even been this one for all I know, but it was definitely like a Pilsner lager or whatever. And I remember like wiping my brow with the back of my hand, raising the bottle. Sun glints into my eye. I close it and I feel the sweat at the corner of my eye by my nose. And I close my eyes and I open my mouth and I feel this ice cold beverage filling the area around my tongue. And I remember swallowing it. And it was one of the best drinks of anything I've ever had in my entire life. I didn't even realize this was happening until I remember Pork was saying, oh, dude, it looked like you enjoyed that so much. And truthfully, I did. It was fantastic. I love German beer. Okay. Next one I want to try. I can't drink all these right now. I'll just get too drunk. Next one I'm going to try. This is going in order of intensity of taste. Because I don't want to go from like a very murky beer, like a hazy IPA, back down to a lager. So I'm going to go to another German Pils, Marsbrau. Okay. This is a Pils by Kaltgehopft. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I don't even know if that's a brewer, to be honest. So this one's not really as clear. It is unfiltered. These are Jose's notes. But it's of the same class and it's easy to drink. And it has a hoppy character in comparison to other German Pilsners. Okay. Definitely has a hoppy bent. Mmm. You know, I've actually been looking for a beer like this. Because even though I like lagers, sometimes you want just something that sits a bit heavier. And while the Weihenstephaner, I think I said it right, Weihenstephaner, oh, I'm craving currywurst now, is great, and I could drink like six of those, like back to back to back. This Weihenbrau or Marsbrau is something that's like you can really kind of kick back to and just really savor it, you know. It's very smooth. It's kind of a pity because apparently Germany is starting to become pretty lax on the purity law for beer, which means they brew a lot more craft beer than they used to. Something I've seen trending in a lot of other parts of Europe recently. It's kind of disheartening, to be honest. I know change does follow the hearse. Another mention about time right there. Shout out time. But it's just progress isn't always necessary. And the past shouldn't always be demonized. If I could hold on to a couple beers for the rest of my life, let's just say a handful of beers, I'd say maybe only one or two. Just for the sake of variety, I'd say two. For the sake of variety only, would be a craft beer, a modern, a contemporary craft beer. Because, I mean, the original Pilsners, Czech or German or whatever, are just fantastic. You don't need anything else but that simplicity. One of the beers I would keep, and I always tell this to everyone, one of my favorite beers is a beer from, it's Three Floyds, I believe, and Mikkeller collaboration called It's Alive. I mean, I usually like everything Mikkeller puts out. You know, I'm starting to talk like an American when I say that, because like everyone I bump into, they say Mikkeller. But when I was living in Denmark, I called it Mikkeller. Because I feel like that's just the way the word would be pronounced over there. Mikkeller. No, wait. Mikkeller. Mikkeller. Okay, now I'm getting my Mikkellers mixed up. But anyway, yeah, the It's Alive was a fantastic beer. You know, it had everything that I'd ever want for the most part. It was a good contemporary beer without being too razzle-dazzle, you know what I'm saying? This isn't bad, too. Marsbrau. Okay, let's move on. Next, okay, because the last one I'm going to have, even though it is a lager, which is traditional, excuse me, Pilsner or lager, I'm getting these mixed up. They're essentially almost the same thing, but one second. Yeah. So it's essentially a lager, but it's a black lager. And Jose says that it's not for everyone, which is kind of like a sign that it might be. I know I'm probably going to like it because I like this kind of stuff. But before that, let's dip into this hazy IPA by Gigantic. So this is Gigantic. And it's the Electro Hazy IPA. And it says it's a collaboration with their friends from Parallel 49 Brewing from Vancouver, British Canada. Nice. And so let's see what Jose says. Bright and citrusy, well-rounded, not as bitter. Hops for flavor rather than for it being bitter. Full-bodied. Okay, and the finish is kind of like a lager, I think it said. Or the finish wasn't as long, I don't think. That's cool, because usually IPAs, I mean, I used to dare myself to drink all types of IPAs in the past. But that didn't really, you know, I mean, just daring yourself to drink the hoppiest, most bitter beer wasn't really, like, didn't really make me that discerning, you know? Didn't mean I was sophisticated in my palate. All right. Gigantic Brewery. Ooh, this is interesting. This is really interesting. See, this thing, the beers tend to explode in the mouth. The newer ones do, at least. This one definitely does. This is spilling everywhere. All over my tongue. But it's not something you could just drink all the time, like, you know, German beer. I'm biased, I guess. Whatever. Sue me. Remember when people used to say that? 90s, sue me. Well, I don't know how old you are, but I'm kind of old, and that's what people used to say all the time. I don't know if I've brought this up before, but I have a theory that craft beer... I mean, I remember going with my dad to Pizza Port when I was a little kid in Carlsbad. And he would get these microbrews, you know? I don't know if they was called craft brews, but it's definitely called microbrews at the time. And Pizza Port's pretty big when it comes to craft beers now. They've been big. And, but I don't, it never became mainstream until like the end of the 2000s. Me and friends would go and pick up some rare beer, like 2008, 2009. And, you know, for a while I was thinking that, you know, the craft beer craze is, in a sense, socially veiled alcoholism. And if you pay attention to, like, you know, when it really started to blow up, that was around 2009, 2010, which essentially coincides with the quote-unquote Great Recession. And, I mean, I'm no one to judge. I love partaking in a pint or two or three, but it is definitely something that I believe is a socially acceptable way of escaping. Apparently the job market is better now, and apparently the unemployment rate is lower, but that rate doesn't really consider the people who have been kicked off of unemployment. And also that doesn't really consider the fact that people are still having difficulty finding work because of how many applicants each job role has and how often companies hire internally anyway. That lends itself to a lot of frustration, a lot of deception due to mass media, you know. Anyway, I digress. Next beer. World Classic Schwarzbier. The original black beer. Okay, this looks good. You know it's good when there's like a monk on the artwork. Mönchhof, okay. Brewed and bottled by Kulmbacher Brewery, Kulmbach, Germany. Okay, so these guys say, our review says, it's a brewing wonder and a beer lover's dream. Supremely drinkable, dry, and beautifully hopped, yet loaded with dark roasted malt flavor. Okay, look at this. Brewed according to the Bavarian purity law of 1516. See, this is timeless. Timeless. That is what, a 503 years ago. Half a millennium of that law. Half a millennium. Oh, look, and the Weihenstephaner, brewed under the purity law of 1516. See, not much needs to change. You know, it's not like this is like, imagine if McDonald's was that old, that taste was that old. Oh, yeah, Big Mac from 1516. We've been making it the same ever since. Food's going to evolve since then. The hamburger is not even like 200 years old, I don't think. I mean, I'll have to look that up. I don't want to be ignorant, but Taco Bell, I mean, tacos are probably pretty old, to be honest, but like this specific style of beer, like you could only brew it with so many ingredients under the purity law. But anyway, so let's see what Jose has to say about this one. So even though it's not as roasted as a stout or porter, it's roasted malt, higher carbonation. So if you do end up getting a bottle of this, pour it slowly. Okay. It's one of those little bottle cap open beers with a little middle part. Oh, that's good. See, I don't know what he meant by this. Like, Jose, I don't know what he meant by, like, some people either love it or hate it. This is not a bad beer. You do get that roast at the end, though. But it's not overbearing. You get, like, the tail end of the roast. Have another sip. Let's look at the percentage. No percentage, but if it's a lager, it's going to be in the upper fours and lower fives. But it's drinkable, though. I really like it. That's something that I really appreciate about these types of beers. For some reason, I view Hefeweizen's as very cakey. I mean, I don't know, like, the process. I don't know what process they use to make it. It's just very sugary to me. Although, there was another time a friend and I were in Offheim. It's in Essen, Germany. And it was this kind of like their prom season thing, and it was called Kirmes. It's the town just like donated beers and schnapps to every kid. It was fucking crazy. Anyway, I'll describe that story another time, but I remember I just bought a pint because I wanted to buy like beer in Germany while I was there, you know, and I bought this tall glass of Paulaner Hefeweizen. That shit there was fucking delicious. And I'm not saying it's like a different beer. I'm not saying it's like a Guinness brewery thing where, you know, the closer you are to the brewery, the better it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it is with Guinness, but I mean, I don't know if it is with Paulaner, but when I had it, it was fantastic. And it was also because, like, you know, I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was 21 at the time, or 22, 21. Yeah, I had just turned 21. Oh, what a time. What a time. Not very productive, but definitely the best use I could have made it at the time. That was a great beer. We ended up developing a habit on that trip to steal other beers. I mean, I've been kicked out. Like, since then, I had been kicked out for stealing. I think the next year I got kicked out of a TGI Fridays in Oslo, Norway, for stealing beer. I'll never forget the lady with the white pants. Fucking. And then I started, like, yelling back at the bouncer that threw me out. They seriously just got me by, like, my collar, just like you see in the cartoons and shit. Pretty funny. I don't do that much anymore, but I don't know. I feel like living a clean life is important, but there always needs to be a little bit of grime, I think. A little bit. At least. I feel like it's good for the body and it's good for the spirit, if you believe in the spirit. I guess you could just say good for the psyche if you don't believe in the spirit. It's that little bit of resistance, you know? It's that sick humor that's just existing and a resident of the sphere of humor only that you never let out. Because if you didn't have that sick humor, it would manifest in the real world. You'd be repressing it. I suppose that's what beer brings out. Maybe that's what alcohol brings out. I don't know if it's all drugs. I think there are some drugs like weed or cocaine or anything else that just obscure whatever else you have. But there's something to be noted about what they say about drunk words or honest thoughts or something, whatever they say along those lines. I'm sure you've heard the example. I'm sure you've heard the phrase. There's something about loosening the inhibitions, if only for a moment. And if you can recall the night before, maybe you get a glimpse of what you're made out of. But of course, this substance itself deceives, just like any other substance. But in moderation, perhaps it's best to indulge in a beer or two from time to time, to let loose and forget about what else is going on in your life. And I hope that's the way you treat my podcast. Thank you and have a great night.